Hi everyone, I'm Liam, and welcome to another episode of Exploring the NQS, a bonus series from the Early Education Show, exclusively for our Patreon supporters. So, if you're listening to this, that means you're supporting the main show, which means I want to start with a big thank you. The main show will always be free, but those of you who choose to actually support us financially really, really help us out. In Exploring the NQS, I take a look at one element of the National Quality Standard one at a time until I've covered all 40. My background is as an early childhood educator and teacher, centre director, and I currently oversee professional learning and development for Northside Community Service, a not-for-profit early education provider based in Canberra. All right, let's get started. This week we're looking at element 3.2.3, environmentally responsible. It's part of quality area 3, physical environment, and it's the third and final element of standard 3.2, use. The description for this element is, the service cares for the environment and supports children to become environmentally responsible. All right, so what's this one all about? This one's a really interesting one. I'll be the first to say that gardening, engaging in the natural world, and sustainable practices are not my forte in the sector, but I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of great people that do. And the sort of lesson from this is that you don't need to have this, you know, as a particular skill or a particular focus for you personally to be engaging with this. And that's, you know, true of many of the elements of the NQS. But this one's particularly interesting because this is one that's changed, that's been one of the most interesting changes from the old version of the NQS, the one that we had from 2012 until the end of January 2012, until the end of January 2018, I should say, and the new version of the NQS, which started in February 2018. The previous one was very much around sustainable practices, and some of the feedback that came through with the NQF review and through engagement with assessment and rating officers is this was a very challenging element to meet for particular services. And there was a suggestion that, you know, in broad summary, that the element was often too hard for particular services to meet, particularly around engaging with really young children around sustainable practices and talking and engaging with children. And it's one of the interesting ones. I can see the benefit of the feedback, and what that feedback has led to is with this element, environmentally responsible, is it's much less focused on you know, the actual doing of sustainable practices with children, and more about supporting children develop a love for the environment and understand the how the natural world around them works. So what this element really is about, and I'm taking a very long time to get there, is two big elements for me. You know, the service itself cares for the environment in a variety of ways, which includes sustainable practices, but that's really looking at the kind of adult world, the service, the educators, the leaders of the service. And that the service then supports children to understand and know and develop those early skills around becoming environmentally responsible. All right, so let's take a look at this one in practice. So the first thing in thinking about this one is looking at it from a sort of programming and planning perspective, so sort of going back to quality area one. So what are we actually implementing through that planning cycle in terms of supporting children to become environmentally responsible, and really about developing an understanding of and a respect for the natural environment. So the kind of things we would see here are there are some really obvious sort of high level things, which might be growing food, growing herbs, those kind of things. And this is something you can kind of do that reflects your, you know, something that reflects the local community. What are the kind of flowers, food, herbs that can be grown in your local community? And as we see, you know, more services ending up in high rise blocks and those kind of things, getting creative ways around, you know, growing pots and plants and those kind of things. But it's all, we can also include things here like recycling, upcycling, bringing in using old materials in new ways at the service. But these are some really basic strategies that we've seen. But there are, for this particular element, there's a lot of great guidance online. I'd be looking at, you know, sequel.gov.au first. There's some interesting blogs about this particular element, but this is a particular one I've seen that is quite popular on some of the social media forums, so Facebook and Pinterest. There's a lot of really great ideas and inspiration about how you can sort of plan for these kind of things, because it is important within a lot of these elements of the NQS that we are looking at that planning cycle. Why, you know, are we reviewing and assessing particular practices, and are we taking an intentional teaching approach? Intentional teaching approach to supporting children to engage with this. And then we'd also be thinking about then just that engagement with the natural world, which includes the setting up of our environments. So we know from other parts of the National Quality Standard that it's important that children have access to a diversity of environments, so both built and natural, and that includes, you know, how we set up the environments as well. But and that includes, you know, for me, and I talked about this in one of the previous elements, is thinking about how we can make things go both ways. So how are we bringing some of the things we would typically think of as indoor resources and furniture in the outdoors? We can think about that the other way. How are we bringing the natural world inside into our spaces? Do children have access to not fake plants, but, you know, but proper flowers and things we can bring inside that children can explore and engage with? It doesn't just have to be the greenery. We can also be talking about, you know, different natural materials, stones, wood, and those kind of things. Are we having an opportunity for children to engage with those things in ways that where educators are around to be supporting that in an intentional way? You know, I've seen some really great programs that really think about some unique and interesting ways of bringing the natural world in, and particularly thinking about maybe parts of the natural world that the children in your particular community may not have access to. So, you know, it may be that, you know, for real, and I look like I live and work in Canberra. So one of the big complaints about people who live in Canberra, not from me, I hasten to add, is that, you know, we don't have immediate access to a beach. So supporting children to, you know, engage with things like shells and water and seaweed and all those different things that they may not have as much daily access to as other services is a way you can sort of explore the different parts of the natural world. Because one of the things we want to be doing is really fostering that wonder and knowledge about the natural world. Because the sort of third point I want to make here for this element, and this, you know, isn't sort of directly referenced in the National Quality Standard or in the guide to the NQF, but is sort of the implication of some of that, the issues we're facing today around climate change and the issues that the children we're working with now will have to face far worse than we're facing right now, is one of the big reasons, I think, for the change in how this element is reflected in the National Quality Standard is that, you know, children are going to inherit a particular world that is going to be a lot more challenging than the one we're facing now. But it's important for those of us who work with young children, particularly those under the age of 5, is that we can't really put that on them. And I think that was one of the criticisms of the previous element, is that we were sort of almost sort of pushing this idea that children had to be involved and directly engaging in sustainable practices. Whereas my view is, well, you know, that's a lot to put on young children to have to fix this problem that we've created for them. So this to me really shifts the emphasis back to adults, not just in terms of what we do. So a big part of this element is about services engaging in sustainable practices. So all the things we can do at an adult level that we can involve children in, yes, and we can think about things like turning off lights and recycling, but they have to be led and driven by the adults in the space. And involving children in them, definitely, there's no reason children can't take part, but that adults take the lead in that process. Because, you know, from a social justice and ethical viewpoint, you know, we are the ones who are dealing with the problem, and you know, as some people would potentially put it pretty bluntly, as the ones that cause the problem, and it's not ethically okay to put that on children. And I think that's a view I tend to share. So the emphasis is really about, I hope I'm communicating this effectively, whereas we maybe had a previous emphasis around children being, you know, leading or driving or developing sustainable practices, and that's totally okay if that's happening. But this is an adult responsibility. We are the current custodians of the environment we have, and we potentially haven't done that great a job. So it's not about pushing that onto children, but it's about some of the ethical work we can do around fixing that, is giving children a sense of wonder and a sense of love and a curiosity about their environment, and then hopefully take that with them as they grow up. So it's a really interesting element, one in this subtle shift in how we think about engaging with sustainable practices and developing environmental responsibility. But, you know, it's really about, you know, how we're planning for those that engagement in the space, really thinking carefully about developing that love for individual children and the group that you're working with. All right, let's have a think about some suggestions for nominated supervisors. My first one here would be, and this is probably a bit of a biased one because I've worked with some fantastic people in the sector who do this so much better than I. It's just not my skill or my area, unfortunately, but One of the best suggestions I can do is to find a champion or champions in your service. I think I know I talked about this in the sort of healthy activity space as well. It's kind of a similarity here. If you have a group of people, group of adults in a room, there'll be someone, at least one person who has a real interest, and it may just be their avid gardeners or just really committed to sustainability and recycle everything and do all those kind of things. So really look for those champion or champions in your service that you can delegate some of this work to and support other educators and children in other spaces to engage with sustainable practices and engage in ethical approaches to respect for the natural world. If you can find those people who can do that, not only takes the pressure off you as the nominated supervisor, but you're really building those leadership skills, and that's something that person can take with them throughout the rest of their career. My other advice here for nominated supervisors is to really focus on what's achievable. One of the, I think, issues with the previous version of this element under the old NQS is that people felt really sort of overwhelmed by the requirements and weren't quite sure what they could or couldn't do. They maybe felt really hamstrung by even just the building they had or the particular community they worked in. So, this element of the NQS is really about sort of focusing on what's achievable for your particular service. So this is a great opportunity to involve families in your local community, particularly for things like, donating recyclable materials, really simple idea that I probably could have mentioned in the in practice section, but I'll mention it here is, if you have that sort of home corner space, is asking families to bring in, old cereal boxes and old milk bottles and those kind of things where they can be reused and incorporated into the program, and you can talk about with children about how that can be recycled and upcycled. But involving the children, the children's families, and the community in that idea is a great way to make some small changes in your service. But in terms of focusing on what's achievable, you want to talk then with your management structure, whoever leads your services, whoever owns the building, about what sustainable steps you can take around really basic stuff like lights. Power requirements. And then the other really quick one is just to whatever state or territory you're in, or if you're in a local council area, have a look at what's available. A lot of governments at all three levels, both local, state, and federal, have particular grants or particular free approaches to sustainability these days. So really, go online, find the government website where that you think might most be relevant, or just Google other options. It is worth investigating those. All right, a couple of quick suggestions for the quality improvement plan. One I would have would be every child has the opportunity to take part in planned experiences in the natural world. So this just really focuses on that individual child requirement, and it means we can demonstrate that planning around engaging children in the natural world in a variety of ways. And the second one I would have would be educators work together with children, families, and the community to start and embed new sustainable practices. And this particular element you could maybe tailor to fit a particular approach you're doing. So if you want to lower your energy output, or if you want to engage in more recycling, you could use that as a particular practice. It's best with the quality improvement plan goals to have them be a bit more specific than that. But the most important part there is educators working together with children, families, and the community. So really building that connection between those groups to embed those new practices. All right, that's it for element 3.2.3, and that's actually it for quality area 3. We've now done with physical environment, so we're getting through these a lot quicker than I thought we would. So next week we'll have an overview of quality area 3, so we'll sort of be looking at it as a whole before we then start thinking about quality area 4. So thanks to everyone who's still enjoying the show, any new listeners. We've had a couple, I think, in the last month. I really appreciate you joining. I hope you're enjoying the episodes, but we will be continuing exploring the NQS. So until you next hear from me, it's goodbye from me.